For the best liberty-oriented talk 24/7, visit LRN.fm.
And so it is, the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
In your heart, you know he's right.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
This is Liberty in Exile with your host, Yael Osofsky.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bring you liberty, not destroy it. Evil the government's duel is after them. The good is often turned to their bones. So let it be with liberty in exile. Let us begin. Welcome to a special version of the program. As you heard before, we played the first hour of the Stateless Man program with Virtus Hodgson out there in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now we're going to play the second part of the interview. I believe this is the more interesting part. We have author and blogger James Altucher. He's on to speak about the virtues of not going to college and university. So we have a nice conversation lined up. You can listen to the whole thing, and you can check out Fergus's site, thestatelessman.com, and we'll be back later this week with more Liberty in Exile. So, listen in.
This is The Stateless Man for the pursuit of individual liberty beyond arbitrary borders, oppressive governments, and myths of national obligations. If you value liberty and are willing to migrate and vote with your feet, you've come to the right place.
Welcome back to The Stateless Man, broadcasting live from Raleigh, North Carolina. You're with Fergus Hodgson and Yael Osofsky. And I'm excited to bring our next guest on. He is a prolific blogger and author. A hedge fund manager. His name is James Altucher, and he from jamesaltucher.com. He's written articles on basically, you could say, the ineffectualness or ineffectual nature of college and his regrets about it. And he's also written basically options or alternatives to it. So, James, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. So, you mentioned in one of the articles that I read that after freshman year, you came close to pulling out of college entirely, and you regret not doing so. So why do you regret that, and what are your chief qualms or frustrations with conventional college education?
Well, I'll start off with my chief problems, and it'll relate to directly why I regret not dropping out at the end of my freshman year. My chief problem is it just simply costs too much money and it wastes too much time. So.
Right.
You send your 18-year-old kid to college, you're stressed out about debt, but you feel like your kid is not going to be happy or have a successful life because you've been brainwashed into thinking college will deliver that. So you go massively into debt, or your son or daughter will go massively into debt. Meanwhile, they could be starting a business or traveling the world or becoming an artist. There's many alternatives. And I wish I, as a young person, with the world in front of me, had chosen to do something other than simply spend tens of thousands of dollars out of my pocket doing stuff I no longer even remember. And why do I no longer remember is because either people are, you know, drinking at keg parties, or they just are learning information that they'll never use in the real world.
Right. Well, but everyone still, at least as far as I can tell, the number of people lining up to go to college has not swayed at all. Even, you know, maybe more people during the latest recession. So how do you explain this? It seems like there's kind of like a mass misunderstanding. What is going on?
Yeah, well, what's happening is there's this huge statistic that's floating around, and I'll tell you why in a second, why this statistic is floating around. But there's this huge statistic floating around, which is that if you go to college, then 20 years later, you will be making almost double what the person who doesn't go to college would be making. And I just saw the statistic again. Georgetown University over the weekend published a report called The College Payoff, which not only mentioned me by name, disputing my statistics, but they also had this statistic. And so I just asked the question, doesn't Georgetown University have a bias? I mean, tuition there, all in with food and board and everything, is about $60,000 a year. Okay, so that you have to make $100,000 a year pre-taxes per kid to send your kids to Georgetown University. Of course they want you to think you're going to make more money if you go to college. It's the most biased thing in the world. So the problem with that statistic is that 20 years ago, you know, assuming they're testing 20-year periods, 20 years ago, college was a lot cheaper. And also, you know, there's something called selection bias. So the same people who went to college 20 years ago were also smart, intelligent, aggressive, ambitious young people who wanted to get a higher education. If you told those people don't go to college, I bet you they would be making even more money right now. So the test is just useless.
Right, and I want to draw people's attention to that article because I just saw that one go up, maybe not today, but recently. JamesAltucher.com, and it's Why Did Georgetown University Call Me Out? They basically called it Why College Pays Off, and obviously that's a lark. Well, like you said, there is a bias in there. You know, I met someone who had $160,000 debt from Georgetown. I just thought that is insane. Do you really think that was worth it? You imagine what you could have done with that money. But I will say, though, that there are many lower-cost forms of higher education. So if by pushing that example, isn't it somewhat of a straw man? I mean, can't people find shrewd and cheaper ways to get through college?
Sure, they can. But again, what 18-year-old knows what they want to do with their life? Like, let's take maybe the one profession which really requires a college degree. And I'm going to hold off on lawyers for a second because there's already too many lawyers, so forget them. But let's take medicine. Okay, right. In order to go to medical school, most medical schools, 99.9% of them require you have a college degree. But so if my kids, I have two daughters. I don't want them to go to college. If my daughter say, but Daddy, I really want to become a doctor, then I'm going to say, well, go become an intern in a hospital for 2 years and clean bedpans. And let's see if you really have the compassion it takes to become a good doctor. And I bet you most of the people don't. Most of the people who want to be doctors are in there because they think they're going to get a high salary, but not because of the real reasons, which is they should become compassionate people. You know, doctors is a horrible profession right now. Nobody has good bedside manner. Everybody just prescribes the same FDA-approved antibiotics that the big pharma companies pay them to prescribe. There's no such thing as a medical profession anymore. The Hippocratic Oath went out the window as soon as the medical degree required a college degree.
Right. I want to back that. The original point you made, too, about people not knowing what they want to do at such a young age is just so true. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and everyone just kind of pushed me. That was the only option really given to me. Go to university, waste more of your time and money. And I really think it was a mistake at that time. And I took 7 years to get my degree, which, you know, was obviously a long period of time and a lot of money in that process. And I changed multiple times. I could have, you know, and since then, you know, I've gone and been able to travel and taken much more intellectual, you know, experiences. Well, how much, obviously Georgetown called you out, which is, it is interesting. How about, is that a good indication that your articles are getting traction and your books?
I hope that a dialogue is being established. But, you know, ultimately, it's not just Georgetown. It's the U.S. government. Because here's an interesting statistic, which is a real statistic, not a bogus one like the Georgetown one. A real statistic is that for the first time ever, student loan debt is higher than credit card debt. So 22-year-olds, for the first time ever, are graduating straight into indentured servitude. Now, who are they paying off these loans to? Well, they're paying them in large part to Sallie Mae, which is a quasi-government organization. So they pay their money to the government. The government sends that money over to Afghanistan into this guy who was a deli clerk 10 years ago is now the president of Afghanistan. He's taking all the U.S. taxpayer money, and he's also taking student loan interest money. So right. The whole thing is a horrible travesty that I don't want my kids to participate in.
Right, and the student loan scheme is particularly interesting because, like you said, you are locked in. They don't give you many requirements. They don't test you heavily to get into the program, but you're basically under the control of the U.S. government. It's very hard to I don't think even bankruptcy can get you out of those ones. But we're coming up.
Bankruptcy will not get you out of the student loans.
Right, exactly. So we're coming up on our break. So this is the Stateless Man on the Overseas Radio Network.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Welcome back to The Stateless Man with James Altucher from the website jamesaltucher.com. And during the break, actually, we were discussing a concern we have, which I want to address, which is, how can one, assuming one avoids going to college, how can one get his foot in the door with, you could say, leading corporations, assuming you want to work for them, when so many of the applications processes these days are just kind of mechanized, where they require certain qualifications?
Well, it's really funny. Like, even I have a friend of mine, his company was acquired by Google. And before Google acquired his company, they actually asked for his SAT scores. Like, that's how concerned Google was with, you know, someone getting a higher education. Not only that, like a top-notch higher education. So the problem is you're just not going to get a job at Goldman Sachs or Google if you don't have a college degree. But what I would suggest is people can get much more valuable and pleasurable experience just going on their own and learning from their own experiences. Example, start a business. You're 18 years old. Here's $5,000, 1/50th of what I'm going to spend in your college education, go ahead and start a business. And you know what? You're probably going to fail. So you're going to learn three things that they never teach you in college. You're going to learn how to come up with ideas, you're going to learn how to sell your ideas, and you're going to learn how to fail. God forbid you don't fail and you succeed, even better. But start a business, start a second business, start a third one. Travel the world a little bit. Go to India and get in shape doing yoga for a year and meet people from all different cultures and societies. Become an artist. Become a stand-up comedian. All of these things teach you how to use your mind and how to learn how to learn. You know, right. If you don't end up at Goldman Sachs, okay, no problem. You'll find plenty of other things to do. It's a big planet.
You know what's funny about that? I did the sort of regular route and got rejected in the interviews for many of these positions because I guess they sense the anti-authoritarian nature of my, and but in some ways I'm just so pleased that I was rejected because that meant I had to go on the road and travel and find my own way, and now, you know, I've been able to sort of find a much more satisfying way of life. So I'm really behind that now. Yael, do you have a question?
Yeah,
there?
James, I've been reading through your post for a long time now and following you on LouRockwell.com whenever you're posted there. And a lot of things that you talk about is especially the internet and how that has sort of freed people a lot more. If you want to start a business, you're a young person, you can go directly to the people. You can go and sell your stuff online, ship it. So I guess as an 18-year-old who is sitting down looking at whether to log on to a website, create your own business, or look at the college application and go through, I mean, I guess really it falls one way, isn't it? It's your creative aspect taking you on through the internet, selling your stuff, and I guess following that entrepreneurial passion that you always write about.
Exactly. I mean, look, I just invested in a company started by a 17-year-old where what he does is he contacts chiropractors and they pay him a monthly fee, and he advertises their services on the internet and on Facebook. So he creates their Facebook pages, and he'll advertise them on the internet, and he gets paid per call that they get. 17 years old, the revenues are $40,000 a month right now. It's a young business that's starting, but what 17-year-old, you know, makes $40,000 a month? And it's all he knows to do. We can all create Facebook pages for chiropractors.
Right.
He's expanding the plumbers next. And then you know what? A company like Service Magic will buy the company eventually. Like, he's set. He didn't need a college education.
Well, with more people becoming aware of this reality that you can, there are alternatives, and you know, I do recommend the article. It's just 8 alternatives to college on James Altucher's website. What do you foresee? You know, is there going to be a bubble? You know, where colleges will reassess and suffer losses. What is? Do you want to give any predictions as to where this is heading?
Well, it's really hard to say because it's like the FDA. It's one of these things that the government has a lock on. That essentially, you know, kills people and enslaves people. So, yes, it's a bubble. Yes, people are spending too much on college. Just like 5 years ago, people spent too much on houses. Just like 10 years before that, people were spending too much on internet stocks. But here's something where there's a whole psychology where people think that the way to rise up in society is to get, you know, like you mentioned, you were rejected for some jobs.
Right,
spend
right.
In a cubicle with fluorescent lights and some boss yelling at you all the time if you got accepted by those jobs. Instead,
probably.
You're the stateless man.
Right.
You know, and there's benefits to that. So again, it's a matter of one by one. You mentioned the tagline of your show is individual liberty. One by one, individuals make a society. And so each one of us has to come to terms with our individual liberty in order for society to change. And I don't know how fast that will happen in this case.
Right. One of the suggestions you give, which I think is particularly interesting and you have experience with, is write a book. You know, if you're rather than going to college, travel and write about your experiences or write about something you believe in. Do you want to give people a little bit of your thoughts on how to get started with writing a book? I mean, it seems maybe daunting for young people.
Yeah, sure. So not every young person has enough experience in life to have enough things to write about. But let's take a random topic, okay? Write about why every single war ever fought was wrong, which is, it has been historically presented in a wrong way. This is something fairly simple to research. You could just use Wikipedia for it. So how do you write a book on that? Well, pick a time every day. You write 500 words a day. Within 100 days, you have 50,000 words. That's a book. Then you just log on to Amazon.com, use a service called CreateSpace.com. You upload your book. Within 2 weeks, it's a paperback. Another week after that, it's on the Kindle. You have a book done. You have money coming in. There was a young girl, Amanda Hocking, started writing vampire novels. And now she's making $1 million a year from self-publishing her own book. And I believe she started when she was 18. So the world is a big place now. We're not limited how we were. You know, I'm 44 years old. I didn't have the choices of the internet when I was going to college. So now there's so many pockets of opportunity that we haven't even begun to discover yet because 18-year-olds are going to discover them instead of going to college.
Right. Okay, well, are you involved with any sort of, alternative education programs maybe? I mean, do you advocate any sort of, training or internship programs that might be productive in your mind?
No, but I do think there's an opportunity to create a so-called disruptive business in this area. If you can basically figure out how to provide a curriculum, how to teach people how to learn interesting things that will help them in interesting jobs, then I think there's a business opportunity to do that. I'm not involved in anything like that, although at some point I probably will be, just because I've been thinking about it so much.
Right. And how would that – you've been thinking about it a lot, but how would that look? I mean, would it just be all online? I mean, do you want to give some thoughts on
that? There's two ways to do it. One is a lot of courses all across the country, from MIT to Stanford to Kansas City University, offer courses – online. What if you kind of aggregated all the free ones into one course curriculum guide and charged for a degree that you certify, you know, charge a small amount, like a tiny amount, and, you know, you get high school teachers from Craigslist to tutor or to teach some of these courses, again, for a small amount. That's one possible way to do it. Another is there are so many tools on the internet now that make corporate life easier, for instance, Dropbox for storage, or different ways to communicate via Facebook or Twitter or whatever, do customer service over Twitter. How about a course which teaches all of these new social media, internet things to people who are being fired from factory jobs so that they can then get jobs at corporations teaching most corporations how to use the internet properly to become more productive. So there's a couple different opportunities to really not just educate, but re-educate people with lost jobs, the unemployed, the ones who would like to work, and actually bring them back into society in a way that will make society more productive.
Right, James, I'm going to have to cut you off there. I'm sorry, but we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. James, it's really been an inspiration to hear your perspective there. We really appreciate your time.
Congratulations on what you're doing. It's really great.
Likewise, mate. So this is the Stateless Man on the Overseas Radio Network.
World with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.